Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ethiopian Adoptees Unapologetically Unfiltered. I'm your host, Ladette Fakadu, and I'm so glad you could join me. All right, we are back, and we're back with another solo episode. And as you can see, the title of this episode is Adoptees. We're not okay. Like, what is going on? And I say that jokingly, but also very serious. It's a serious issue, but you know, you get a laugh through the pain, otherwise we'll just cry nonstop. and honestly, I think that's what I've been doing. I'm not okay. I'm right with y'all. But you know, I'm not okay, but I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? As adoptees, I think most of us are unwell to a degree, and that's not to like degrade ourselves. I honestly think that a lot of us don't admit that. I think in a way it lets us kind of lower our expectations in life for ourselves. A lot of us just have been put in a lot of really insane situations, and I'm not necessarily grouping myself necessarily in that context, because yes, I have my own issues, my own things that I've been through, but based off of the adoptees that I've spoken to, like, our community is incredibly unwell. And so why am I saying all this? Ladette, this is kind of harsh. We haven't heard from you in a little bit, and now you're hopping on a podcast screaming at all of us, telling us that we're unwell. Well, you know, sometimes we all need a little tough love, and it's not even tough love, it's the reality. And I really want to have this conversation, I guess, through, I want you to walk through with me. I guess we're going to go back and kind of replay the last, like, year that I've had, dealing with my personal stuff as an adoptee that I haven't really bothered to look at, or I guess be really honest with myself about what I've been doing, my coping mechanism, realizing how harmful they've been, now paying for them performatively, and like very much like a lot of people do in a lot of ways and whatever. But you know, I've intellectualized a lot of our experiences, right? My personal experience as an adoptee, I've intellectualized it more than I've actually let myself experience it, talk about it, which is also why I think, even though I thought I'm like, I've let all these things go, I've acknowledged it, it's fine, but I'm like, why is it at my door every morning? Like, this is crazy, right? And so that's what happens when you don't really deal with it, right? So I think for myself in the past year, continuing the podcast, but not really doing the interviews, but taking a step back from doing the solo episodes, you know, a part of it is, you know, imposter syndrome and being like, who cares? You know, who wants to hear what you have to say? Or like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, you get, you know, whatever. On top of that too, I, was talking to, you know, as I was speaking to more adoptees, I was sitting back and like looking at it thinking, what the hell am I complaining about? Like, adoptees are literally homeless. Adoptees literally cannot feed themselves. Adoptees have literally been dragged from their culture, from their country into this country, into another country. Just not out of Ethiopia, and they're not being taken care of. They were literally dragged out just to not be taken care of, and for their citizenship not to even be finalized. So we have adoptees who are literally in positions where they're scared of being deported, where their adopters have relinquished guardianship or have fully abandoned them but won't give back their documents. Adoptees can't get their documents. Like, these are the issues. And I think for myself, I went to this mode of like, what do I talk about? Because I want to talk about things from my personal experience and not necessarily from I don't want to talk about other adoptee issues because obviously they're not mine to talk about. But at the same time, I'm thinking like, I can't knowingly talk about my personal experience knowing that other adoptees have some crazy situations going on. And I think that's when, you know, I learned, and I guess I've accepted now, like, I can't destroy myself for not having a more terrible circumstance. Like, what can I do? And I think I lost faith in the very thing that I started and the thing that I've heard, you know, I do receive messages from you guys, you know, saying, oh, I really appreciate this episode, that episode, your story, so-and-so's story. Thank you. I feel less crazy. And the number of people that reach out to me, adoptees, are like, oh, I knew it. I knew my documents were falsified. I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew I actually had the numbers. I knew all these things. Literally the very reason why I started the podcast. I knew it was having an impact. And still, I think my personal self-doubt, which is, you know, is an adoptee thing, and feeling as though, like, I don't have a right to necessarily be doing a podcast and whatever. I took a step back, and I'm realizing now, like, I shouldn't, because I'm wearing myself thin trying to do all these other things when in reality, I don't have the time. I don't have the emotional capacity, because I haven't even dealt with my own shit, to be completely honest with you. I have, in a very performative way, I have intellectualized it. But now I'm being forced to, like, genuinely experience it and deal with it and build healthy habits, because I'm getting older. And what am I going to sit there and be like, well, my adopters, like, what? Well, my sibling, my teacher, like, it doesn't matter. I'm 24. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. So I know I just kind of said a lot, but I guess that's just to say I'm back. I'm back to the podcast. I'm back to doing the thing that I initially started, the thing that I know was helping adoptees, the thing that I could do without burning myself out. But just the burnout is real, guys. The burnout is real. And the burnout is real because our community is so unwell. It is so unwell. And again, I am part of that community. So I truly am not saying it from, a higher ground, or me thinking that somehow I'm superior. I'm not. I've had to look at myself, be like, you're deeply unwell. You are deeply unwell. And that's okay. And it was super, like, cliche to be like, acknowledging it is the first step, but how many of us have genuinely accepted that we're not okay? That doesn't mean we're not resilient. That doesnn't mean we can't get through it. That absolutely we can get through it. And if absolutely we're resilient, to be where we are at is, like, the definition of resilience. Each of us in our own right, in our own circumstances, but, like, we're not okay. And I want to frame it when I say, like, it's okay, just from a historical perspective and context. Like, Ethiopian adoption was incredibly fraudulent. It was incredibly corrupt. It was very much an intentional and systematic failure of children, Ethiopian children. It was the intent. It had to have been, right? Or the side effect, whatever, of chasing money, of greed, and of you know, the obsession with trafficking children, whatever you want to call it. But it just destroyed Ethiopian families. That was the cost. It destroyed Ethiopian families. The biological families were absolutely destroyed. Friends, families, cousins, aunties, uncles, moms, dad, grandmothers, best friends, close friends. Under coercion and lies and deception, they were destroyed. Adoptees were put, Ethiopian children, non-orphans, and even if they were, you know, orphans, even some of us out here that we, yeah, maybe don't have biological parents, but guess what? We do have older siblings, other siblings, you know, step-siblings, step-parents, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunties and uncles, kinship. We have family. It's not normal for us just, oh, because your parents are dead. That doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden nobody wants you. That's not the way it works. Let's not apply Western concept of community and, you know, biology and family, which is incredibly fucked up, let's be honest, into our situation, because that's just not the way necessarily Ethiopia functioned and the culture in Ethiopia was. It wasn't. It's not now. But, like, we are up against the intentional, and I say intentional because it wasn't unintentional, destruction of Ethiopian families. It's true. The lack of vetting of these adopters, the lack of government oversight on these orphanages that literally were popping up left and right, straight up kidnapping children, kidnapping them and putting them in the orphanages, throwing them in there. The amount of abuse that went on in those orphanages. The fact that white people just came in, mostly white people, right? Came in and got their pick of children. I want that one. I want those. Is that two for one? I know I'm making a joke of it, but this is how fucked up it was. Nobody cared. White people taking out loans to buy children that they couldn't afford. Like, what's going on? White people being able to get their children, Ethiopian children, with documents that are falsified to make them more, I guess, appealing, palatable, whatever you want to call it, to white people. Oh, well, this child's three. Well, no, that child's actually five. But we're going to lie, saying that their parents are dead when they may be alive, saying that nobody's looking for them. That's not true. Saying that so-and-so has HIV and AIDS, and that's not true. Like, this is the levels of fucked up we're talking about. Like, this is truly what we're up against. The adopters getting their hands on Ethiopian children, us adoptees, who had no intentions of taking care of us. So many of us. We were just taken to fill some sort of religious purpose for them. Some sort of political gain, some sort of social gain, right? We were adopted because it was a cool thing to do. I don't know, Angelina Jolie adopted a kid, so why not? Some adoptees, we genuinely were just accessories for white people, and then they were like, oh, you're a child with needs and a family, and you actually want... This was actually all traumatizing, and why are you misbehaving? Why aren't you just, you know, dancing when I tell you to dance and smiling when I want you to smile? Like, our entire humanity was stripped from us. The probability that any of us would end up in a decent situation was incredibly slim. And that's another thing I had to grapple with, and I had to realize was I'm one of those situations. My adoption situation is better than most adoptees, even though there are, you know, there were hard 7 years when I was first here. Like, you know, and I have my own thing with that. And yeah, but it's just to say that, like, my God, do I feel like after listening to adoptee situations, like, I'm in a better situation? What? Like, it's insane in the sense that, like, there are adoptees that are an hour away from me, that are 30 minutes away from me, who were literally adopted by adopters that were just incredibly abusive for years, and I had no idea. I've literally seen these people who had essayed adoptees. Like, when I tell you I don't even know. Like, it makes me so sick to realize, wow. 30 minutes north, 30 minutes south, I literally would have been in a completely separate, just a different sort of nightmare of a situation. So many adoptees, so many of us have been thrown in the troubled teen industry, institutionalized in general, have been wrongfully incarcerated, or had adopters sort of pushing us into that pipeline, or falsifying just facts and information to make adoptees look like, you know, they had committed some sort of criminal activity, or not helping them with certain, like, it is disturbing how insane adoptee situations are. The number of adoptees who have eating disorders. There are so many adoptees that have eating disorders, and even worse, you get online and some of them are out here literally promoting it, and people are sitting in the comment section saying, Oh my gosh, like, you must be so happy you got adopted. No, this isn't funny. I'm only laughing because I'm not laughing because eating disorders are, they're not funny. Like, let me make that clear. I'm laughing because, like, adoptees can look at another adoptee. At least those are that kid are somewhat critical of our situation or their own situation and what's happened, whatever, can usually pick out, like, in a video when adoptees are not okay. I don't care if they have X amount of followers. I don't care if they say that they're doing good. I can look at a video of an adoptee and be like, they're not okay. Watch a video and be like, they are not okay. But in the comment section, it's so funny how people, my God, it's just such a twisted world. It's so terrifying when you're awake and when you've unveiled the reality. It's so dark. But sorry, I digress. Going back. Yes, So many of us are institutionalized. So many of us have issues with self-harm. So many of us have eating disorders. We have, alcohol addiction or alcoholism, drug addiction. And do you, I don't blame any of us. I'm not saying those things are okay because, guys, I hope I don't have to say that they're not okay. Those are not healthy coping mechanisms. There's a cause and effect, and boo, guess what? Regardless whether I say so or not, the effects are not, they're not going to be good. But guys, we're not okay, but this is why. It's because of a very intentional and systematic failure of several governments who either enabled or just decided to look away and act like nothing was happening. Ethiopian government has so much blood on its hands, and God, is going to be a day when I have enough energy, guys, and the emotional capacity to be able to handle more than one issue at a time. But Ethiopia, my God, the Ethiopian government, my God, you have just so many Ethiopian families to apologize to compensate, whatever. I don't know, but and also the adoptees, obviously. I cannot believe you sold Ethiopian children off to white people when you know that historically African children, African people have never been safe in the hands of white people. And that's just the reality. Then you let thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Ethiopian children whom had family that could have taken care of them literally end up in places where they are now have less than what they had in Ethiopia. Are you kidding me? They are homeless in America. They have no community. Nobody watching out for them. Some of them don't even have citizenship. What the fuck? You literally have put them in a... A factually more insane situation. Insane situation. Unhealthy situation. Life-threatening situation. It blows my mind. The number of DMs that I get from adoptees who say, I wish I had been left in the orphanage. I wish they had just left me in Ethiopia. And for those freaking people out there that are listening, non-adoptees, or even adoptees, yeah, some of y'all adoptees are problematic. But I'm going to save that episode for another time. Some of y'all are making it so hard for other adoptees to literally get help by just whatever. But my point being that, people were literally asked adoptees, well, how would you know how things would have gone if you had stayed? Well, guess what? If I know at least somewhat what my life was like prior, and I have gone through adoption, I have gone through the process, and based off of my experience, I would say I'd rather go back. Are you really going to sit here and tell me that you are more qualified to tell me what my experience between the two experiences, which experience is better or worse? People are genuinely tapped. I, oh my God, y'all, it's so hard. It's genuinely hard to reason with unreasonable people, to empathize with people that wouldn't know empathy if it hit them over the head, to talk to adoptees who are so unwell that they literally harm other adoptees. The level of unwell we are. We are so incredibly unwell that we are literally hurting each other. We are in competition with one another. We are actively withholding resources from each other because we are more obsessed with looking a certain way or owning certain things. It goes so much farther than issues that we all have within our own circumstances, which obviously that's what I was referring to prior, 5 seconds ago. But this issue, I realized, it bleeds into everything else. It bleeds into everything else. Adoptee relationship with other adoptees are literally so toxic. So toxic, guys. Adoptees that overextend themselves to the point that they're burnt out because they've tried to help other adoptees, and other adoptees are latching on to the adoptees that barely have anything to give to suck them dry of situations because of their own situation and their own trauma. And now adoptees can't even be in community with each other, understandably, because one is so traumatized that they're sucking life out of one. Another one is sucked dry out of life that they can't be in community. We have adoptees who are starting resources, will do resources to cut another person out for clout, for having just in oh my God, I can't speak, unable to sustain a certain position, to have a certain title. Literally adoptees like just belittling the works of another adoptee because there's some competition. It's just, guys, it's not okay. We're not okay. We are not okay as a community. And again, this isn't too, I know this sounds like a very public lashing. That's actually a terrible term. Let me think of something else to say. But it seems like I'm publicly reprimanding our community in a way that's like, girl, let's just keep this within our community. Let's not air this out on a podcast episode. But guys, there is no community. This is the closest thing to a community that I can build, where I know that this conversation is, you know, can be had, or at least we can think about it. You know, as you listen to me ramble as I record this at midnight. But guys, we're not okay. Like, we all really, truly, truly, truly need to be, you know what, first thing, be kinder to each other. Guys, you know what, actually, that's, if there's nothing else that you take from this episode, be kinder to yourself, because first, you know what, look at what you've gone through. The fact that we are all living and breathing is a sign of our defiance against a very system that literally did not care whether we lived or died. They didn't care, because there were zero things put in place to ensure that. Like, it truly is. We are a sign of I guess, just, I hate using the word resilience, but it is resilience. Like, it's resilience. We are a sign of strength and courage, and an FU to a system that, again, did not care whether we lived or died, because it did not ensure that we lived. Seriously, we were literally given to people whom historically would have no problem owning us as slaves. Some of us literally ended up as slaves. So the fact that we are living and breathing and just getting up every day, that is literally amazing. And it's taken me a long time to get to this point. The more I look at the reality of our situation, I am genuinely shocked. I don't know how adoptees do it. But I mean, then again, we see the issues that are going on within our own community. And you know, we're just really good at hiding it and masking it. And it comes out in other ways. But regardless, I'm not going to take it away from any of you, any of us. The accomplishment of living and us living is just genuinely working against a system that was built to keep us down, to silence us, to keep us unwell, to keep us institutionalized, incarcerated, to keep us silent, to keep us complacent. So, you know what? Like, that genuinely, I genuinely am proud of every single one of us that chooses to get up and just to try the next day. So, yeah, but at the same time, we need to take care of each other. We need to start listening to each other. We need to start validating each other's experiences. I do not want to hear another adoptee whom genuinely knows, either based on their own experience or based off of their friend's experience, who's going to sit here and promote something that they know is inherently evil. Adoption, you know, in theory is great, but in practice, we know better. It's literally child trafficking. Literally. You adoptees have friends who are adopted by pedophiles, who are adopted by abusers, who are adopted by some of the most racist, just terrible people who literally have used adoptees as this, you know, shield from accountability of being called racist or whatever, while genuinely harming adoptees, while separating, while pinning adopted siblings together, pinning them against each other and destroying what little relationship that they have with their siblings, like, genuinely. And they'll sit there and say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. No, absolutely not. I have zero time and respect for it, guys, because we're not well. Like that is not okay. Do we all understand why that is not okay? Like, we can't even look outside for anybody else to give a shit, for anybody else, if we don't stop first and stop using our religious affiliation, stop using our as our sexual orientation, whatever it may be, to keep us from being friends with each other. Like, I don't understand, because I have friends that are religious, I have friends that are atheists, I have friends that are Muslim. I do not care. That should not sit there and whatever. I have gay friends, I have straight friends. Like, it doesn't freaking matter. Like, can we all pull it together and recognize that we were all subject to, or we were all a part of, a child trafficking scheme, which just was covered up as adoption, right? And just because some of us ended up in quote unquote better situation does not mean that's not the case. You don't just get to be like, lol, that didn't happen. And more importantly, too many of us, most of us, ended up in incredibly terrible, life-threatening situations. And for us to go ahead and promote anything less than the truth means that we are aiding in the continued silencing and suffering of our fellow adoptees. I'm not being dramatic, guys. This is genuinely what's going on. That's just one less person that's going to be saying, well, adoptees are great, well, I want to check up on that adoptee. Like, that's important. Facts are important. I know that seems to not be the trend right now, but that's important. Lifting up the voices of those who cannot speak for themselves is important. You know how many things I talk about on this podcast, on my TikTok, on all that's not my personal experience, but that doesn't fucking matter. It's not okay that any of us are in any of these situations. That's not what adoption was supposed to be. So how can y'all get on there and promote it? I don't care. It really is one of those, if you're not with us, then you're against us. I do not care. So for those of you who are, I'm not saying you have to talk about it, that's different. But if you're going to talk about it, do not lie. Do not lie. Because then you are just as bad as the very system that put you in that situation, that put me in this situation, that put other adoptees in life-endangering, threatening situations. Come on. All right, guys, I'm done yelling at you. I'm kidding. This truly comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of, in my own sense of, like, what the hell is going on. It's genuinely coming from my own realization as to the extent of the issues that we're currently facing. I'm taking a step back, guys. I know I'll talk a little bit about this in a couple minutes, but I was doing the Zooms, I was trying to do them twice a month with some other adoptees in our community that have been doing just amazing work, incredibly, incredibly important, time-consuming work, it's a lot to try to have conversations with adoptees who are not ready to have conversation, or who are still confused about community and what they want. Like, it's hard. It's genuinely hard. It's hard to also pull the weight of it's hard to create a community after the destruction that the practice of adoption has left in its wakes. Like, honestly, our community's in shambles, our families are in shambles, and I think that those sorts of things, I just had to take a step back. It's draining, it's exhausting, it makes me sad. It I don't know. So I'm taking a step back from that. I'm going to be doing the Zooms. For those of you who are listening, usually at 8:15 Eastern Standard Time. I'm located up in the Northeast, like an hour from Boston, I guess that's what I'll say. So that's where it is. And I think it's for, And then I also do the Zooms for those located in parts of Europe. And you can find the details on that on my Instagram, Ethiopian Adoptees, UU, as in the letter UU. Ethiopian Adoptees, UU. So please follow me on that if you want information as to the Zooms. But I'm taking it back to once a month. You know, for my personal mental health, I'm trying to balance school out, which has become a hobby, which isn't good. I mean, I'm making adoptee our community as much as I would love to are my priority, and I can't with school. But I also emotionally can't deal with it. And I'm also trying to live by my own words that, you know, I'm preaching over here to everybody, and I barely follow through on it on this end. It's very much do as I say, not as I do. But yeah, taking a step back and working through my own stuff, not performatively, but and not just by intellectualizing it, but genuinely going through it, you know, working through it and not feeling bad for prioritizing myself, because I can't save all of us. And that's not to say that I was ever going to. I just, in my head, I thought, like, we can all do it. And the reality is, no, adoptees don't want to do it. Adoptees can't do it. Adoptees think they can, and they can't. And I'm one of them. Our community needs resources. A lot of our community needs money. It's so crazy that financial situation or lack thereof in our home countries, what brought us here, for most adoptee situation is deeply rooted in lack of financial resources. Like, yeah, here we are. So listen, if you guys want to join the Zoom, feel free. Please do. It's gonna be once a month, because that's all I can honestly handle. And for those of you who want to, you know, who are interested in starting something, go for it, do it. For those of you that are like, it seems like a lot, I want to focus on myself, bravo. And please do that as well. But in the meantime, guys, be proud of yourselves for, again, getting up every day, doing the damn thing, and being like, yeah, I'm not letting this adoption corruption that, you know, that just completely fucked over my entire life stop me, because that is resilience on its own, truly. Like, that is so incredibly remarkable. It's remarkable. And it's worthy of celebration. It's worthy of you acknowledging that in yourself, because I think we forget and we act as if our lives are normal or our experiences are normal, and they're not, and they're sure as hell not meant to be. And we're really good at masking it, so that's important. But y'all, do not lie. I better not catch you guys on social media out here promoting something you know has destroyed the lives of so many adoptees, has literally led to adoptees being murdered by their adopters, has literally led to adoptees taking their own lives. Do not do that. You know better. Please. I'm genuinely asking you guys. I cannot tell you how important that is, because it stops people from being inquisitive. It stops people from saying, because there's still young adoptees out there. There are still young Ethiopian adoptees out there. So if somebody looks around and it's like, dang, I did hear so-and-so say this, let me call somebody and make sure that child's okay. Let me make sure that 10-year-old doesn't end up murdered by his adopters. And then it be considered, oh, it's inconclusive how he died. By the way, I'm mentioning Bigadu, the case of Bigadu when I say that. But anyway, with all that being said, please, please, please don't lie. Please, please, please take care of yourself. Thank you for listening. Do the work. Take the time. Focus on yourself and healing yourself and your circumstances. Please do not leech off of other adoptees or each other, where a lot of us are exhausted. We have limited resources. Let's genuinely try to be kind to each other, uplift our community, and do our part, which is doing the damn work, self-reflection, acknowledging the reality of our situation, of our just circumstances, and genuinely working to be better, to do better. It's not going to be perfect, but please, please, it's essential that we try, because we can't even we can't even start to build community without it. It doesn't work. It falls apart. It's just complete chaos. And this comes from somebody who deeply, 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 genuinely cares for every single adoptee. I really, really do. Our community is so important to me. Our well-being is so important to me. We deserve that. But unfortunately, we have to do it for ourselves. So with that being said, love y'all. I really, really, really do. And please take care of yourself. And until next time, bye-bye.